So we are back in the book of Acts, and this is a portion that I normally would have just skipped over, talking about Apollos, but when I started reading it, I realized there's such a wealth of information in this short piece. So it's Acts 18 verse 24. And we will read, we're not going to do everything, but we're going to read up to Acts 19, verse, let me just see, verse 7. Acts 19, verse 7. But we're going to start with Acts 18, verse 24. So we are in Ephesus, like I said. Paul couldn't stay in Ephesus. He spent 2 years in Corinth, which was the province of Achaia, next to Athens, nowadays Greece. And so with, what was the couple's name? It's a well-known couple that came with him. They were making tents with him. I don't know if any of you know who it is.
Aquila and Priscilla.
Those two. Aquila and Priscilla. So they came with Paul from Corinth to Ephesus, and Paul left them there because he was in a hurry to get to Jerusalem. He was actually at the end of his second missionary journey, so we would call it a furlough. When a missionary comes back to his home city or hometown, we would call it a furlough. So Paul was coming back for the second time for a furlough to Syria, Antioch in Syria. Antioch, Syria was basically the home church or the base that sent him out. Remember, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate unto me Paul and Silas," and they were sent out on the first missionary journey. So Paul coming back from his second missionary journey, but we're not going to talk about Paul now, maybe a little bit later, but I'm going to leave that for next week. I'm going to read everything, and then we start with the first verse. Let's start with verse 24, Acts 18. "Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him." Achaia is where Corinth is, so he's going to Corinth. "And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth," that is now 19 verse 1, "and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' So they said to him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said to them, 'Into what then were you baptized?' So they said, 'Into John's baptism.' Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all." So a quick context on this, all the scriptures, we're going to only speak about the first couple of scriptures up to about 19 verse 1. This is a good place. Let me ask you this question. What is the meaning of discernment?
Knowing the right thing to do at the right time.
That is a good answer.
Being driven by the Holy Spirit to make you, help you to discern what is right and wrong, what's from the world and what is from God.
So discernment is as simple as hearing and obeying. Hearing from God and obeying, and that is doing the right thing at the right time. That is the result. So underlying all these scriptures is, how do you discern whether somebody is a Christian or not? And this is now dangerous ground that we're going on to. If we cannot discern one another, that's why I asked, what is discernment? Discernment is hearing from God. If we start discerning one another, we move into a place of criticism and pride and gossip. So discernment, very important, always is listening. What does the Holy Spirit says, and obey. So there's two portions of scripture here. The first portion we're going to do today. Second portion we can maybe do next time. And Apollos is in the first portion. And he knows Jesus. And we're going to look at why does he know Jesus. He's got limited knowledge. But he's following Jesus. He's a disciple of John. Then we have also in the next portion in chapter 19. 12 disciples of John, but they don't know Jesus. And it's a gray area, but how do we discern whether one, why is Apollos a Christian and these 12 disciples, they're also called disciples, they're also baptized with the baptism of John, but they don't know the Holy Spirit. When Paul asked them, have you been prayed for the Holy Spirit, they said, we don't even know the Holy Spirit. So when we come to salvation, the Holy Spirit plays a part there. Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so when we give our lives to God fully, the Holy Spirit enters into us and he starts working through us. And he actually makes us a minister. I'm not the only minister here. This whole place is full of ministers. We are ministers of reconciliation. We've got a ministry of reconciliation. Because we were reconciled with Christ means we are now ambassadors for Christ. So, but let's get into the scriptures. So the first scripture says, verse 24, Acts 18, verse 24. My topic this morning is the teachability of Apollos. Because that's something that was really highlighted. But it's not the only topic. There's so many other things that we can see in this. We can see what is an able minister of Christ. But what really stood out for me is the teachability of Apollos, and you're going to see now why I say he was teachable. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, and immediately there's a contradiction. How can a Jew have the name of Apollos? Apollos, as far as I can remember, is the messenger of Zeus. He's a false god. Now we have a Jew that has the name of Apollos. So his parents gave him this name. So I think what we are maybe guessing is, remember he comes, we're going to read now further, he comes from Alexandria. We're thinking that they were Gentiles in Alexandria. And remember when I spoke about Paul always going to the synagogue first when he came to a city. You had the Jews going to the temple or to the synagogue, and then you had these there was a name for them, but it was these Gentiles that converted to Judaism. They would also go to the temple, but any Gentile, they must just be circumcised, the men, they must be baptized in water, all of them, to be initiated into the Jewish faith. They must follow all the laws of Moses, they must come to all the temple gatherings, they must follow the feasts, festivals, all those things, and then they are part of the Jewish faith, then they can worship God together with all the other Jews. So we think that he is a Judeo believer, you know, that he converted he and his family converted to the Jewish faith. He was born in Alexandria, we said that. I don't know if you guys know where is Alexandria. Alexandria was a city, a very affluent city, It's about 20 kilometers west. If you think where's the Nile Delta, where Cairo is, it's about 20 kilometers west, was this massive city. It was the second biggest at the time in the world. Rome was the biggest. Remember the Roman Empire, they ruled at the time, but this was the second biggest. And they were known for their literary works, their universities, and so we have this Jew. He's an eloquent man, so he studied at those schools and those universities, very strong in philosophy and different sciences, and so he's well-spoken, eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures. Scriptures was only the law and the prophets, that's all that they had. And for him to have access to the scriptures, he had to be part of the Jewish faith. And so he must have studied this and loved the scriptures to be mighty in the scriptures. So he comes to Ephesus. What's interesting about these two cities, Alexandria and Ephesus, you remember we're still not there in Acts. I think we'll get to it in Acts. Further in Acts 19 or 20, but there's the Temple of Diana. The same architect that built that Temple of Diana was involved with the planning of the city of Alexandria. So it's interesting that idolatry, which is so strong in Ephesus, could have played a part in the city of Alexandria as well. Therefore his name, Apollos. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. That is so beautiful. So somebody took the time to instruct him. So the baptism of John happened about 16 years before, where John was baptizing in the River Jordan. And what was John, what was he proclaiming? I haven't got the slides on now, I can maybe put the slides on. But John was proclaiming the words of Isaiah, a voice crying in the wilderness, proclaiming the way of the Lord, make straight your crooked ways. That was his message. John's message was repent, because Jesus is coming, the Savior is coming. That was his message. It was never about John. But the guys that was only baptized by John, they thought that is the big message. And that's what they were proclaiming. So with his limited knowledge, he searched the scriptures and he was proclaiming all these scriptures showing towards Jesus, that Jesus is coming. And that is the way, showing towards Jesus, how to live for Jesus. He was fervent in the spirit. So a lot of translations say he was passionate. But I just checked in with Henny a bit on that one. And he said he thinks that spirit must be a capital S, meaning he was full of the Holy Spirit, because he was following the way of the Lord. Remember the first time the way appeared in Acts was when Paul was persecuting the church. He was following the people of the way. Which way? The way of Jesus Christ. The way that talks about his death, his resurrection, and ascension, going up to sit on the right hand of the Father. So that is the way. The baptism of John did not preach that. John only showed towards Jesus. So John was before Jesus. So he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, he said after that. That is so beautiful. And that, for me, there's a principle in that. If I know something, for example, about baptism, I must only speak and say what I know. Not add stuff. Not say, you know, Andrew Murray says this and this about, or Derek Prince says this and this. That has been revealed to me by the Holy Spirit through the scriptures. Stick to that. It may sound better or stronger to add other writers, but it's always best to speak only what is revealed within us. So rather say less on a topic than say more. Go and study more, by all means, but rather say less on a topic than start adding to it. He spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. So you can see that this guy, even though he only knew that this, the baptism of John, he followed the Lord. All these characteristics, you can see that he followed the Lord. though he only knew the baptism of John, there he says it. Verse 26. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Even that word boldness for me, I see in Acts, when Acts 2 verse 1 to 4, these guys were all scared. All the disciples were scared until the Holy Spirit fell on them. Then they were out in the streets and they were speaking boldly regarding Christ. So there's another test on Apollos being a follower of Jesus Christ. So this is what I'm getting to. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. This struck me like a lightning.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, he was successful.
Yeah.
Paul was gone.
Mm.
Paul was in Jerusalem. And he was mightily preaching with limited knowledge. He was preaching the scriptures. And here comes Aquila and Priscilla.
Woman.
Priscilla, a woman.
Yeah.
And says, basically asking him, can we teach you the way more accurately?
Yeah.
And he's completely open to that. I mean, already people are listening to him. He's in the synagogues, in the synagogue confronting the Jews. And he says, yes, teach me. We can never get to a place, whether it's age, whether it's status, we can never get to a place where we are not teachable. My children have taught me so much from young, 3 years, 4 years old, when they could start speaking, because they are sensitive to the Spirit. And I learned from young to listen, when they were still young, to listen to them. And hopefully I'm still listening to them. So, they took him aside, they explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, there's some translations say that he was actually invited from Corinth. They asked Apollos, they probably heard about him. Achaia is just on the opposite side of the sea. I don't know if you can remember the map. When they were at Athens, Paul was at Athens, then he went to Corinth. Corinth was on the seaside. There's two seas connected, the Aegean Sea, and there was another sea that was connected at Corinth, a very well-to-do city. A lot of idolatry, believed in Neptune, god of the sea. And then from there, Paul took a ship and came over to Ephesus on his way back to Jerusalem. So now Apollos, they probably heard in Corinth about him, and they're inviting him now to come there. And look what he does. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. So there's a principle here. He submitted it to the family or to the body. And this is something that we must do. If I hear something or I get invited somewhere, I mustn't just fly away here and go and do my own thing. We are a family. I mean, family, the name family comes from God. When we did Ephesians 3, or the end of Ephesians 2, it talks about the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in which all the families of the earth gets their name. So family, the name family, comes from God. God inherited family. He is family. And so he submitted this to his family, being his Christian family, his brothers and sisters in Christ. That's how we are stronger. I think I've mentioned it, that sometimes the young guys will come to me and say, well, you know, the Holy Spirit said this to them and they did it, and now they're getting lots of persecution because of that. And everything is going wrong. He says, but have you sent a WhatsApp to any one of your brothers and sisters? No. He says, why not? Together we are stronger. The Holy Spirit is more here in all of us than just in one of us alone. So that's a very important principle here. These brothers wrote to Corinth, the church at Corinth, and said, please receive Apollos. And here Apollos goes. But there's another thing that I saw here. He was preaching to this church in Ephesus. And when Priscilla and Aquila taught him and said, can we teach you the way more accurately? Suddenly he flies, he goes off to a province. Bible talks about Achaia. Corinth is only one city. From Corinth, the whole Achaia goes down. So it's almost like the Lord is saying, okay, I've taught you now, you allowed me to teach you, I've taught you, and now I can trust you with more. I can send you now to a province to go and teach there. Paul only reached Athens and then Corinth. Paul wasn't in the rest of Achaia, in that province, it's a Roman province. And here the Lord says he trusts Apollos with limited knowledge, but now he was open to be taught more accurately.
Mm-hmm.
There he goes. But remember, the Holy Spirit is now part of that. So Priscilla and Aquila must have prayed for him. We'll see that in the next passage. We're not going to do that today. But with the other 12 disciples who also knew the baptism of John, they were not saved. And they did not know the Holy Spirit. And when Paul prayed for them, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So also see that empowerment and that acceleration in the Spirit when we allow the Lord to teach us and we are humble and we are teachable to receive from Him. I'm coming to the end. Okay, what have we got here now? Verse 27. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. So believe through grace. How do we start in salvation? We start through grace. And then what do? We end up in works. We start with grace and then we end up in works. It's not supposed to be that way. We've got to start with grace and stay in grace. Grace was a free gift. Salvation was a free gift we received. The Holy Spirit is a free gift that we received. A gift from the Father. But we want to add to that. The big problem with Galatia, remember the book of Galatians, letter to Galatians, the biggest problem was that when the Jews started turning to Christ and even the Gentiles, then the synagogue, the Sanhedrin said no, but they must also do circumcision and they must also follow these laws. And then there was that big council in Jerusalem. And afterwards, the council decided only Jesus, not Jesus and. And we also do it. We want to add. We sometimes have idols in our lives, like family can be an idol. Our parents can be an idol. My parents, my stepdad, my parents is passed away, but my stepdad is still there, which I love a lot. And he stays alone. And you can make an idol out of this. When he phones, you can leave everything and run after that, what is his crisis. Or you can say, Lord Jesus, what do I need? Discernment. What do I need to do in this? Should I get involved? How should I get involved? So, I'm coming back to Jesus and works. When it comes to Jesus and family, be sensitive that our family doesn't become an idol in our lives, or is an idol in our lives, or our work, or our career. There is so many add-ons. When we say yes to Jesus, we say yes to a king. That king asks all our loyalty. We give our fealty to him. You guys agree with that? So, he greatly helped those who believed through grace. He can help them because he is saved. He has been saved by grace, so he can help those who believe through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Remember, there's two completely different things here. The Jews are running for works, so the Jews are waiting for a Savior. But they in a power, they're in control of the people, in control of the synagogue, and there's a power struggle going on here. They don't want to just give over to Jesus Christ and acknowledge Him as Savior, because they can't enforce the laws and all the festivals and everything that goes with that. So now He's confronting them and say, listen, you don't have to wait for a Savior anymore. He's come already. You just have to believe in Him. They don't want to do that. They just don't want to receive salvation. They want to work for salvation. They want to receive it. So this is his struggle with the Jews. Chapter 19, verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, that you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe. So I don't want to go into that, but that is the other 12 disciples. So this is the two sides of the coin you have. All these guys, if you look at 13 disciples, all of them were introduced to the baptism of John. So either they were baptized in the Jordan 16 years ago, or people came from the Jordan telling them about the baptism of John to repent, to look for Jesus that is coming. And Apollos were running with the scriptures, filled with the Spirit, preaching. These other 12 guys, they didn't believe, they didn't receive the Holy Spirit. And so they were not saved, but we'll look at that in another time. So that you enjoy Apollos?
Yeah.
And his teachability. I love that part about him. That he, even though it looked like he was successful in Ephesus, I mean, he was one of the planters, if you look at him, with limited knowledge. He was one of the planters of this very successful church. Ephesus is probably one of the most successful churches in this history. In the Acts history, if you Revelation 2, the first church that Jesus spoke to was the church of Ephesus, and Apollos was part of that. We talked this morning about Paul planted, Apollos watered, God gave the growth. Apollos was one of the planters of this church, together with this other couple in Ephesus. But he was teachable, and that's my wish for us for this year, that we will stay teachable. And we were together at a visit earlier this week, Pedia and some of us, and the one woman, she said a word that she received for this year was intentionality. And I think if we can be intentional, first of all, about our relationship with Jesus Christ, and say, Lord, this year I want to be closer, I want to come closer. I think we sang it this morning, more of you, Lord, less of me, more of you. But also in our relationships with one another, to be intentional in those relationships. I think it's a good word for this year. But let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these scriptures. Lord, thank you that we could see how Apollos ran with the scriptures. Now, Lord, we have the Old Testament and the New Testament. We've got so much more. We've got you opening our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, so that we can get to know you on a daily basis. Our desire this year is to be intentional with you, to get to know you better. Holy Spirit, teach us the depths of the Father. Come connect the depths that is in us with the depths of the Father, Lord. Only you can do that. And we submit to that. Jesus, we acknowledge you afresh as our King. You are our Savior. And we pray, Lord, that you will give us discernment in our daily walk, Lord, that we can truly love. That if it's Christians or non-Christians, that our love will not differ, but we will stay in that agape love, that we will have eternal focus on every person that we meet with. Father, that we will deal with our idols that is in our life. They that we don't want to share you, that we will deal with those idols. In the name of Jesus, we give you all glory.